Good to have Brother Richard with us, brothers and sisters. It is much pleasure, and I ask him to give us those necessary words of exhortation.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. The readings this morning are such that I could have taken my exhortation from any of the three, but I don't need much of an excuse to talk about the book of Ruth. So if you'd like to turn to the book of Ruth, we're going to take our exhortation from there. And my excuse for that is the fact that Esther, our middle reading, is a Jewess in a Gentile world, and Ruth is a Gentile in a Jewish world. Tenuous, I know, but I don't need much excuse to talk about Ruth. We're going to start our exhortation by thinking about the first few verses. Reading from the New King James Version. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. That starts our story, doesn't it, very nicely. My mum and dad named me Richard Allen Cook, because Allen is my father's name. My mum liked the name Richard, and Cook is our family name. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Richard means a hard ruler. Allen means of a tribe, and Cook means sellers of cooked meat. So I should have been a hard ruler of a tribe that sells cooked meat. The wonderful thing about the book of Ruth is the names. It is so easy to read the book of Ruth. It's only four chapters. This lovely love story of the book of Ruth, and not realize the importance of the names. Just go back to Judges chapter 21, verse 25, the very last verse of the book of Judges. We've already established that the book of Ruth is in the time of the judges. And the book of Judges ends with this verse. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Come back to the book of Ruth. I'm going to reread the first two verses of the book of Ruth. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of the land of bread, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of the land of death, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was God is King, El is King, and the name of his wife, My Pleasantness, and the names of the two sons were Sickness and Consumption. Of the house of bread of Judah, and they went to the country of death and remained there. Remember that verse in Judges? At the time there was no king in Israel. What is Elimelech's name? God is King. Yes, there was a king in Israel. There always has been a king in Israel. At the time of the Jews, it was our Lord God, the Creator. God is King. Of course, what we need to look back at is the first verse. Judges ruled and there was a famine in the land. Why was there a famine in the land? Well, Bethlehem is known as the land of bread, the house of bread. And yet there was a famine. So where they lived, there was no bread. It was a house of bread, and yet there was no bread. There was a famine, not just a physical famine, but a spiritual famine too. Remember that verse in Judges that every man did as they wanted. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's why there was a famine there, because they'd forgotten that God is King. And they did what was right in their own eyes. And so there was a spiritual famine as well as a physical famine. Let's just think about us now as we prepare for the bread and the wine, as we remember our Lord Jesus this morning. How are we feeling living in the land of famine? There is a spiritual famine in the land, isn't there? Recent survey showed that 56% of the population do not believe in God. We're living in a time when everybody does what is right in their own eyes. Everybody cares about themselves and nobody else. And so, just like Elimelech and Naomi, we live in a time of famine, of spiritual famine. And that's why our feast this morning is so important, isn't it? That we can come together and remember the Lord Jesus through the bread and the wine in this time when everybody else in the world, or there's a generalization, but so many in the world do what is right in their own eyes and not in the eyes of God. It's understandable, isn't it? Why would you call your children pining and consumption? Why would you do that? Sickness and consumption, Marlon and Chilean. The only thing we can assume, brothers and sisters, is that Marlon and Chilean were sickly children. They weren't well. From the point of birth, they were ill children. That's the only thing I can think of as to why they would call their children consumption and sickness. And again, it reflects the time that they lived in, doesn't it? That the land that they lived in, the land of Israel, was sick and wasting. And so it's understandable that this couple, Naomi and Elimelech, sought somewhere where there was food. And so it is that they go to Moab, to sojourn, just for a short while, just whilst the famine in Bethlehem is over. They go to the country of death, Moab, that had been condemned for the actions earlier on in our scriptures. There was no life for them there. They had left their life and they had gone to Moab for understandable reasons. But they didn't sojourn, did they? They lived there. They remained there, end of verse 2. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Stiff-necked, and the name of the other, Female Friend. And they dwelt there for about 10 years. Then Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the women survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. It was the end of the famine. It took 10 years. But now they had hope. She had hope. She'd lost everything, just like Job had lost everything. She had lost everything. She'd been left with her two daughters-in-law. And when I say she'd lost everything, she had lost everything because they'd sold the land that they owned in Bethlehem. So much for a sojourn, for a temporary, for a transient passing through. Therefore she went out of the place, verse 7, where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her daughters, in-law, go return to each to a mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you find rest, each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Now this is interesting, isn't it? This is the first time. What you'll see through the next few verses is this is the first time of three that Naomi beseeches them to stay in Moab. There's nothing. She knew there was nothing for them in Israel. They were Moabites. They were dead. They were Gentiles. Not just Gentiles, but they were dead Gentiles. They had no hope. The only hope, she said, that they've got is to remain in Moab. And we think of Peter, who denied our Lord Jesus three times after he was arrested, before his death. And so many times we get this threefold testing. So this is the first test. Verse 10. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughter," second time. "Why will you go with me? Are there sons in my womb that they may give you husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I say I have hope, even if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Remember her name? My pleasantness? And yet here, she has gone. She says that the Lord has gone. Just think of the book of Job. Look at Job, of everything that Job lost. He never says that. And yet here in testing Naomi, she says that the hand of the Lord has gone. She becomes bitter towards the Lord. "And they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.'" Remember what I said about how important the meaning of names is? Here is Orpah, who goes back, stiff-necked. She listens to the warning of Naomi and turns back. She is stiff-necked in her views and her name. Kisses her mother-in-law and returns back to her gods and to her people. But Ruth clung to her. Ruth fellowshipped with her. That clung implies a cleaving, an inseparable bond. She would not let go of Naomi. She fellowships with Naomi. Now, I was 17 when I was baptized. That's at least 30 years ago. Maybe 40. A bit more. I just wish I could have known these words at that time as a confession of faith. Just look at verse 16 and 17. Here is Ruth's confession of faith. "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." We are here this morning to remember our Lord Jesus. Is that what we could say to our Lord Jesus? Do we say that to him? "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you." Ruth understood that life was in Bethlehem, in the land of bread. She understood that her hope was in Naomi, in becoming a Jewess. And the same for us. We are Gentiles, brethren and sisters, who have been baptized into Christ and become spiritual Israelites. Verse 18, "When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. Easy to read this. I love the book of Ruth for this. There's just a simple sentence. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. Simple as that. They crossed the River Jordan to get there. They had to. She was baptized, brethren and sisters, in crossing the River Jordan. In leaving the land of death, she enters the land of bread. Just as we have on our baptisms. We left the land of the dead and we entered into the land of bread. And it happened when they'd come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" So she said to them, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." Mara. Just think of Mara. Where have we read Mara before? That's the place where the children of Israel were, where the waters were bitter. Mara means bitter. "Don't call me my pleasantness, call me bitter," says Naomi. "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me my pleasantness? Since the Lord has testified against me, the Almighty has afflicted me." Indeed, Naomi has become bitter. Interesting that throughout the book of Ruth, that's the only place she's called Mara, she's called Naomi all the rest of the way through. So Naomi returned, and female friend, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they went to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. I love the book of Ruth. You have a simple sentence, and there's so much meaning there. Have you got it, brothers and sisters? Now they came to Bethlehem when? At the beginning of the barley harvest. Passover. Time of new beginnings. Here is Ruth, who has left the land of the dead, and she's come for a new beginning. When we were baptized, we had a new beginning, didn't we? We took off the worldly garments that we wore, and we put on the whole armor of God. We left behind us the land of the dead, as Ruth has. And she comes at the time of new beginnings, the Passover. Chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was, "In him was strength," Boaz. Interesting, isn't it, that Naomi and Elimelech left Bethlehem at the time of famine because there was no hope for them. As far as they could see, there was no hope. Not only did they leave the land of bread, but they sold everything. They had no intention of coming back. We'll discover later on, if you as we read through chapters 2, 3 and 4, you realize that actually they sold their homestead in Bethlehem. They didn't sojourn. They turned their back on the land of bread. And that's a warning for us, isn't it? That in our sojourning, we shouldn't turn our back. If we turn our backs on our Lord Jesus, then we are entering back into the land of death. We have no hope. So Ruth, verse 2, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. This is the law of Moses in action. If we read through the law of Moses, we'll see there that farmers had to leave a corner of the field. They were not to reap everything from the field, but to leave some for the poor. And that's where Ruth goes to. Now Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Just a thought here, brothers and sisters. How often, when we greet each other in the morning, how often do we say, "The Lord be with you"? Don't we just say, "Good morning, how are you?" And we lie and say, "Oh, I'm fine, thank you very much." the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. What a lovely greeting for the family of Israel. Then Boaz said to his servants, who was in charge of the reapers? Whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it's the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. You see, the inheritance was through Boaz, was through Elimelech. The house of Elimelech comes through Boaz. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face, bowed to the ground, and said, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? Have we said that to our Lord Jesus? Have we said that to our Saviour? Why have I found favour in your eyes? Why have you chosen me, Lord Jesus? Why have you called me? That you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner, since I am a Gentile, since I am not of the house of Israel. Why have we been called, brethren and sisters? Because he loves us. The Lord Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life upon the cross. His Father, God is King, El is King, loves us so much that before the world began, he promised us eternal life. Verse 12. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge, for trust, the AV says. We indeed have come under the eagle's wings for refuge. Then she said, let me find favour in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. Boaz becomes their redeemer. We'll see that in chapter 3. And as the redeemer, he breaks bread and drinks wine with Ruth. They share this meal of bread and wine, as we share this meal of bread and wine, to remember our redeemer, to remember our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. She ate and was satisfied. Now, I didn't tell you the whole truth at the beginning. Didn't lie, I just didn't tell you all the truth. Ruth, as a name, has two meanings. Its first meaning is female friend, and we saw that in chapter 1, didn't we? We saw in chapter 1 that Ruth was the female friend for Naomi. She uplifted Naomi, and she brought Naomi back to the land of bread. She was and is female friend to Naomi. But it has another meaning. The other meaning of Ruth is satisfied. She ate and was Ruthed and kept some back. She was satisfied. That's what her name also means. So are we satisfied, brethren and sisters? Does our faith in the Lord Jesus satisfy us? It should, shouldn't it? We should take this bread and the wine and share it among ourselves and be satisfied. Verse 15, and when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also let some grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That's enough to make bread for two people for 5 days. So she brought out and gave to her what she kept back after she'd been satisfied. And her mother-in-law, verse 19, said to her, where have you gleaned today and what did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she took her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz. And Boaz then says in verse 20, Naomi then explains to Ruth, the man is a relative of ours, one of our near kinsmen. Now, in the book of Leviticus and Numbers, it explains all about near kinsmen. Near kinsmen are really important. This is the Redeemer. This is their Redeemer. The near kinsman's job is to buy back the land. Here, Boaz redeems Naomi and Ruth. Without his kindness, without giving them the corn, they would have died. They were starving. They had no other means of feeding themselves. Verse 22, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that you should go out with his young women, that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to clean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. The harvests are 7 weeks apart. That's deliberate. 7 weeks. 49 days. We now meet the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, there were 2 leavened loaves, one representing the Jews, the other the Gentiles, brought together. We think of the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 1. That it's at that point that the Holy Spirit gifts come to the apostles. That it is made clear now that the followers of Christ are spiritual Israelites, that we have the opportunity of a place in the kingdom through our Lord Jesus. I'm going to whiz past chapter 3. Chapter 3 explains to us how, under the law, Boaz does the right thing. He is a near kinsman, but he's not the nearest near kinsman. And the nearest near kinsman have to have the opportunity. They ought to be the people that buy back Naomi's land, the land that belonged to the family. And they then say that they can't afford it. And under the law, that's fine. So Boaz steps in, and Boaz said, well, if you can't redeem them, I'll redeem them. And our Lord Jesus has stepped in and he has redeemed us. We read in Hebrews chapter 10 that the blood of bulls and goats, the blood of sacrifices, was never going to be enough to redeem us. It had to be the blood of one man, our Lord Jesus, who gave his life upon the cross to redeem us. He steps up and has redeemed us through his blood, through his sacrifice. And of course, this book has a happy ending, doesn't it? Verse 13 of chapter 4. So Boaz took satisfied, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the woman said to Naomi, Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a near kinsman. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child. And in verse 17, we find out what he's called. And they called his name Serving. Servant. Our Lord Jesus, who we remember this morning through the bread and the wine, through this meal that we share amongst ourselves in fellowship, is our servant, who served us, who redeemed us through his blood, through his sacrifice upon the cross. And so it is that we as spiritual Israelites walk and wait for the time when our King returns to this world, and there will be a King who rules the world. And we look forward to that time and pray it will soon come.